You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to continue to talk about the ceasefire deal made, announced as of this morning, and whether it'll actually hold and what's actually going on here. Again, the whole thing is hard to even cover because of just how inverted absolutely everything is and how out of whack it is with our historical understanding of the way geopolitics works. And again, it's not about any sort of preconceived notions or the, you know, who is doing what. Just looking at it strictly in a subjective, objective way. Looking at it strictly in an objective way, it's obvious that Israel is the bad guys. Like, what they've been doing is indefensible in any regard. And I mean, just every day there's more and more evidence of that, to the point where you've got the Israeli government like condemning photographs of their own people. It's really gotten to a crazy degree. It's from Ambassador Jonathan Peled. "We strongly condemn the manipulative use of the recent cover of L'Espresso. The image distorts the complex reality with which Israel must coexist, promoting stereotypes and hatred. Responsible journalism must be balanced and fair." And this is in response to a cover story from a Italian magazine called L'Espresso, and it's a story called The Abuse, in Italian, L'Abuso, I think. And the cover image is this visceral image of an Israeli settler almost baring his teeth like a chimpanzee as he holds a phone up, filming a crying Palestinian woman. Crew, if you can find this image. And actually, we have, you know, more video of the guy because he's a regular sort of fixture, almost a celebrity there in the West Bank settlements. That there's the actual photo. So this is, you know, they're saying, how dare you? How dare you show this image of reality? And there's video of this happening. So, you know, it's sort of a good starting point in understanding the mindset of, here's a photo of what's actually happening. They recognize that what's actually happening is viscerally evil. Like, they're not sitting there going, oh, this is, you know, misconstrued the way this works. It's just, they're just saying, hey, you're not supposed to show this part. You're not supposed to show this part of what's actually going on, the functional reality of how our settlement operates and who's doing it, how they feel about it, who it's affecting. You're supposed to hide all of that. You're supposed to disguise all of that. And it's your fault for showing people the reality. It's not our fault for participating in it. That's sort of the mindset that we're working with here. In other words, they want it to keep going. They know the bad thing is happening, and they understand that it can only happen in secret, that if people knew in a widespread way about what they were doing, people would demand that it stop, and they'd stand up to stop it. So secrecy is the only way that they get this done, so they're infuriated that the truth is being told about it. It's just a constant we see in our world. And of course, I can show you videos again, how about from today? We can go to clip number 6 here. This is Israeli soldiers put up barbed wire and shot tear gas at Palestinian children who are trying to go to school. And like, it really is like cartoonishly evil, you know, it's the type of stuff that it would make really, you know, powerful anti-Semitic blood libels, but it's just what's actually happening. It's like, yeah, think of just the most sort of senselessly evil thing to do, and that's just what they do. It's like, what's the problem with Palestinian children going to school? And they're like, they're Palestinians, so we hate them and want to kill them, and this is as close as we can get to killing them right out in the open. So you can see they move up the fence, plant the Israeli flag, and just encroach, encroach, encroach. This, once again, directly against the explicit orders of Donald Trump. Explicit. He said they will not take any more of the West Bank. There will not be any more annexing. I think he actually said the same thing in that clip. He said enough is enough. The same thing he tweeted earlier today about truth socialed out about Lebanon. Enough is enough. Well, you said enough was enough when it came to the West Bank. And it's only the violence and the annexation of the West Bank has only increased. So let's play that video again. We'll leave the audio on so you can hear the people actually describe what's going on. Let's watch.
This is the path these Palestinian children in the Israeli-occupied West Bank normally take to get to school. But on Monday, they didn't make it to class due to this newly installed barbed wire fence that villagers say was put up by Israelis from the nearby Carmel settlement. The school kids were seen making do, reading and playing alongside the fence as Israeli soldiers on top of the hill looked on. The Yesha Council, a body that represents West Bank settlers, told Reuters, quote, "A barrier was put in place to protect the residents of Carmel in coordination with Israeli security authorities after repeated attempted incursions into Carmel." It said there were other routes the school kids could take, but Khalil Hathaline, the head of Umm al-Khair Council, said the road they've been asked to take is too dangerous, as it's only 300 meters away from the settlement fence. One Israeli human rights group said the barbed wire fence was part of a coordinated campaign by settlers and the military to intimidate Palestinians and drive them from their land. In addition to the fence, Palestinians said Israeli soldiers had also fired tear gas, causing several children to experience breathing difficulties. In a statement, the Israeli military said they used riot dispersal means against adults who it said had tried to reach the settlement's security perimeter. The military acknowledged children were present, but said they were not targeted. The expansion of Jewish settlements in the West Bank has surged under the current Israeli government, the most right-wing in the country's history. The Israeli military has erected dozens of new checkpoints across the West Bank and established permanent and temporary roadblocks.
Now, I want to remind you that Hamas doesn't exist in the West Bank. The West Bank wasn't a part of October 7th. They aren't Gaza. But they're being treated like they are, obviously with the intention of ethnically cleansing the entire area and killing anybody that doesn't want to move. Now, I want to remind you, the West Bank is where the birthplace of Jesus is. It's where there are people who are literally the oldest Christian communities in the world. They are the ones now being targeted and driven out of their land. So they're not Hamas. They're not even Muslims. They're Christian Palestinians who are being viciously attacked on a continual basis by Israeli settlers who are protected by the Israeli army. And if the Palestinians try in any way to fight back, they'll simply be killed, if not kidnapped, imprisoned, and tortured in ways that I don't even feel comfortable discussing. Totally horror-filled. Now, again, this is all just sort of laying the groundwork so you can understand how absurd it is, on top of everything, that this is the country that we are sacrificing everything for. It would be crazy already if we were doing this for a place like Ireland, right? As much as I love Ireland, they've never done anything to anybody, as far as I can tell. Aggressive, like, attacks against anybody? Absolutely not. They sort of have the cleanest record you could ask for in terms of imperialism or abuse of, you know, foreigners or their neighbors. Like, it just doesn't, Ireland doesn't have a history of that. If we were doing for Ireland what we're currently doing for Israel, I'd still be against it on a nationalistic basis because it's not our country. And why are we doing all of this for this foreign country? This doesn't make any sense. We shouldn't do this. But there's something a bit more heinous and despicable about it when you know that the country we are doing this for is not just engaged in questionable military behavior. Their entire history is nothing but that. But from 50 years before they were a country, they were already running terrorist games. They invented terrorism to create Israel, and it has never moved away from that. Like, every prime minister of Israel have all been members of terrorist gangs. The current leadership of Israel multiple of them have been convicted for literal terrorism, like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich. Like, look up their history. When they were like in their 20s, they were caught like building chemical weapons to use on civilians. But because that's what Israel's all about, they weren't charged, like weren't convicted, and are now running the country with exactly the same mindset. It is so insane that America is a part of this. It is so against all of our values. It is like hard to describe because of how cartoonishly evil it really is. I mean, we can just, again, I didn't even collect these like being like, I'm going to talk about how evil Israel. This is just, it's every day. It's every day. There's 10 examples. I usually don't even show them. I usually don't even talk about them, but I could. I could spend all show, every show, just showing you clips of Israelis being the most evil people you've ever seen. I mean, we can go to another one here. I just have it, happen to have this one today, clip 32, talking about maternity ward terrorists, because you're a terrorist if you're not Jewish, according to these people. That's literally the dichotomy they operate under. Let's watch. I'll read along here. He says, Halavi was proud. I captured the department. I think the orthopedic department, approximately 150, and killed them in a hospital. At the same time, in the maternity ward, 300 terrorists were born. 300. Why? And this guy says, they're children, not terrorists. He says, yeah, terrorists. No, they're children. No. They're terrorists, you understand. Doesn't matter that they are literally newborns in the maternity ward. They've never been outside. They're so young. They haven't even opened their eyes yet. They're terrorists and they have to be killed. They deserve to be killed. It's a sin to let them live, according to these people. So again, it would be one thing if we were doing all of this for a foreign country. That was a great, nice, wonderful country. I'd still be against it. We're doing this for people that literally think I am a terrorist the moment I'm born. Because there's, in their dichotomy, it's not America and Israel on one side and Hamas and Iran on the other. It's America on, it's Israel on one side, America and Iran and Europe and Turkey and all of their neighbors on the other side. It's them versus everyone else. And you have to have that mindset. You can see how deeply, thoroughly convinced they are of this mindset because they advertise it. They talk about it like it's normal. And you have to have that level of dehumanization of the other in order to say things like there are 300 newborn terrorists in the maternity ward that we liquidated. I'm telling you, the thing I just don't understand, it's like, how many Nazi movies have you watched? How many times has this exact type of behavior been hammered into your mind that it's the height of evil, and yet you can't recognize it because it's Israel? You're lying. You're a bad person. Yeah. This guy might as well be our president at this point. The grimacing chimp Jew. It's representative of our soul as it's been twisted beyond recognition. Let's go to clip 11 here. This is in Lebanon. Again, a secular state whose the construct of their state, one of the three main positions has to be occupied by a person of a different religion. I can't remember exactly what the cutout is, what the arrangement is, but it's something like the president is always going to be a Christian, the prime minister is always going to be a Shiite, and the speaker of the house is always going to be a Sunni. Like, they are a multi-faith republic, which is especially ridiculous when you hear Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East. It's like there's a republic directly next door that, by the way, was majority Christian until like the 1980s. And as a direct consequence of Israel's attack on Lebanon in the 80s, not only was Hezbollah created, of course, hundreds of American Marines died in this conflict, and it became a Muslim country directly as a direct consequence. And the Jewish community in Lebanon was eradicated and destroyed by Israeli airstrikes on their synagogue. Okay? Make sense of any of this from an Israeli perspective. You can't unless you're just like, yeah, we want to kill them. We will kill them. We kill them all. We lie about it. And then we keep killing. Like, that's it. That's the argument. That's the moral stance of theirs. There's no justification for any of this. And again, I guess, whatever, we'll move on. But we could go back and talk about Regarding the 1983 Beirut barracks bombing that killed 241 Americans, the Israelis had intelligence on the operation they neglected to share with the Americans. Then, as the then Mossad director Nahum Admani reportedly said at the time, we're not there to protect Americans. So, you know, 241 Marines were killed by a truck bomb. This was before Hezbollah really existed. People say they started in 1982. They weren't a thing and didn't announce their existence until 1985. But obviously there was a upswell of local militia activity following the invasion of Lebanon by Israel in 1982, and it ended with this truck bomb at the Marine barracks. But rather than pass on these details to the to their U.S. counterparts, so Mossad knew. A Mossad informant in Beirut passed on information about a Mercedes truck being outfitted by radical Shiite Muslims to carry an exceptionally large quantity of high explosives. Because of its unusually large explosive capability, Mossad officials felt that there were only a few logical targets, one of which must be the U.S. compound. But rather than pass on these details to their U.S. counterparts, Mossad decided to send only a standard warning, which was all but useless. We're not there to protect Americans, Ostrowski quotes Mossad director Nahum Admani as saying. They're a big country. Send only the regular information. On October 23, 1983, a similar truck smashed into the Marine barracks, killing 241 servicemen. The general attitude about the Americans, wrote Ostrowski, was, hey, they want to stick their nose into this Lebanon thing, let them pay the price. Greatest allies, right? For 47 years, Iran has been trying to kill Americans. Yeah, with Israeli help. Like, hey, it's not our responsibility to look after the Americans. If they want to get their nose, you know, if they want to poke their noses into our business, they'll pay the price. That's the attitude of the Israelis towards America. It's transformed a little bit in the intervening 40 years or so, because it's now you have to stick your nose in our business. You have to stay here and fight for us, or I will kill your president or something. And of course, all of this is basically just a giant farce. I guess since we're on topic, let's go to clip 11 here. This is happening in Lebanon again. Lebanon, secular state. Hezbollah is a militia that operates within Lebanon, but Lebanon is not Hezbollah. They're not Hamas, and Hezbollah is not Hamas. And Hezbollah, despite being smeared as a terrorist organization, doesn't really attack civilians. Tries very hard not to. In fact, I can think of one example in a very long time of Hezbollah's missiles actually hitting civilians, and it was a misfired rocket that was hit by an interceptor that killed some Druze people, and Israel made a big deal out of it because they wanted to use the Druze to attack Hezbollah, and Hezbollah basically came out and apologized and said, you know, it's an accident. But anyway, the point is, we're not talking about a justified war here. Even if their tactics were appropriate, they're just waging a war against a bunch of civilians. But here's a video of them deliberately targeting paramedics over and over again in multiple double strike attacks on civilians. Let's watch.
The Israeli military today launched three consecutive attacks on three different teams of paramedics, all operating in the southern Lebanese town of Meifadun. And what we heard from the Lebanese health ministry was that first there was a paramedic team that, as is normal, responded to an emergency call. They were going to the site of an Israeli airstrike where there were wounded people they needed to rescue. And as they were arriving to Meifadun, they were hit by an Israeli drone strike, killing two paramedics at that site and wounding others. And then the paramedics sent yet another team in order to rescue that first team. And as they were arriving to the town, another Israeli strike hit that team and wounded three of those paramedics. So then the civil defense decided to send yet a third team in order to rescue the first and the second teams. They were also hit when arriving to the town. Another two paramedics were killed in that third strike, and more were wounded. The Lebanese health ministry has condemned this as a blatant violation of international law, saying medical facilities should never be a target under the Geneva Conventions. We're still waiting for comment from the Israeli military on exactly what it was targeting in these strikes. And we know from the past that Israel has accused the Hezbollah militant group that it is fighting a war with in the south of using medical facilities and ambulances as cover for its militant activities. But it has not provided evidence of this. And so far in this war, Israeli strikes have killed more than 91 health workers so far, according to the Lebanese health ministry.
So again, there's brutally murdering innocent civilians in Lebanon. It's just terror bombing in a pretty heinous fashion. But a lot of people are looking at the current ceasefire. They're seeing how, so like, this is what I mean is, like, typically in a world that made sense, the country doing that would be the bad guy. Like, there'd be no question. We'd all be aligned against them. This is why it's so confusing, is we've got this one country that just everywhere and constantly, Gaza, just murder fest, genocide there, West Bank, just vicious and brutal annexing of land that's not theirs. Obviously, they're doing insane stuff in Syria. They're just murdering everybody in Lebanon. And it's like, looking at this, you would think that everybody in the world would be aligned against them, and they must be like Germany. It must be like an industrial powerhouse that, like, we just can't stop. But no, it's literally entirely because of the manipulation of our political system that allows them to do this, and it's all inverted. They're the bad guys, and they're not going to stop trying to take over Lebanon. I don't care what the ceasefire says. They don't care what the ceasefire says anyway. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu, clip number 19, saying Israel occupation forces will not return to the previously established border of Lebanon. They have annexed a large portion of Lebanon and intend to stay there in violation of the ceasefire agreement. So it doesn't exist. Let's watch. I'll read along here. He says, we have an opportunity to make a historic peace agreement with Lebanon. President Trump intended to invite me and the president of Lebanon to try to advance this agreement. This opportunity exists because since the War of Independence, he's talking about his War of Independence, we have fundamentally changed the balance of power in Lebanon. We dismantled the beepers. We destroyed the massive stockpile of 150,000 rockets and missiles that Nasrallah prepared to devastate the hills. He probably should have used them. And we eliminated Nasrallah. And this balance has shifted in such a way that in the past month, we started receiving calls from Lebanon to hold direct peace talks between us and them, something that hasn't happened in over 40 years. I welcomed this call and agreed to a timeout, or more accurately, a temporary ceasefire of 10 days to try to advance the agreement we began discussing during the ambassador's meeting in Washington. For these peace talks, we have two demands. First, the disarmament of Hezbollah. Second, a sustainable peace agreement, peace through strength, to achieve the ceasefire. Hezbollah insisted on two conditions. The first condition, Israel must withdraw from all Lebanese territory up to the international border. The second condition, a ceasefire under the framework of quiet for quiet. He says, I did not agree to either of these conditions. Indeed, these two conditions are not acceptable. We are staying in Lebanon in a reinforced security zone. This is not the 5 points that existed before the lion's roar. This is a security zone that starts at the sea and continues to Mount Dove in the Hermon foothills up to the Syrian border, a security zone 10 kilometers thick, which is much stronger, much more robust, much more continuous, and much more solid than what we had before. So we can take it down. So he says, we're not leaving. We're not leaving. We are taking over this land that we're illegally occupying. They did just command that a bunch of civilians flee their home and then bomb them to smithereens, which is like so much less than what Russia did in Ukraine that started that whole war. The outrage that we had to constantly hear about, the bigger country is invading the smaller country. Don't you understand that this is a matter of sovereign land? And it's like, again, we told you at the time, these people don't give a damn about that. They clearly just don't have principles. It doesn't matter to them. What is good for Israel is good. What is bad for Israel is bad. That is their morality. And that's where it exists. And we can get into it more because I'm not the only one recognizing this. ResponsibleStatecraft.org says Lebanon talks are a farce disguising something much more sinister. He says, in essence, what Israel and the U.S. seek is not a peace deal between Israel and Lebanon, but an agreement to turn Lebanon's government into something like the Palestinian Authority by enlisting it to be Israel's security subcontractor in the north, which is simply not achievable. And that's really what they're trying to set up. They really do want to turn Lebanon into Gaza 2.0 with the intention of eventually destroying it totally, driving the people out and annexing it into Greater Israel. That's what they're pursuing. That's still their ultimate goal. This ceasefire, if it even exists for any period of time, is in service of that goal. Otherwise, Israel will not agree to it. And I've seen no pressure brought to bear that will change their mind, regardless of Trump's shrieking.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss, gummies, and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at AlexJonesApp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering it. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.